ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி, ஸ்லோகா 249. சம்லக்ஷ்ய சின்மாத்ரதயா சதாத்மனோ அகண்ட பாவ பரிசீயதே புதைஹ ஏவம் மகா வாக்ய சதேன கத்யதே பிரம்மாத்மனோரைக்யம் அகண்ட பாவஹ. So this shloka is actually the continuation of the previous shloka, because the previous shloka is grammatically incomplete. Because it ended with the word hitva, having removed the opposite attributes. So the sentence has to continue. Having removed the opposite attributes, what should I do? You have to take the attribute-less core of each of them. That is what it should be mentioned here, each of them, and which is said in this shloka. And it says, chinmatrataya samlakshya. We have to just refresh from the last webinar. So once you remove all the attributes, then what is left out is Shuddha Chinmatra. Shuddha Chinmatra, Chit. Chit means consciousness. And Paramatma, consciousness, attributeless. And Jivatma, consciousness, attributeless. So both the Paramatma, Jivatma, consciousness, which are without attributes. So this attributeless consciousness alone will be implied by the words Tat and Tvam in Tattvamasi. So just wave implies water, ocean also implies water, and once I arrive at the water, which is the essence of wave and water and the ocean, the next stage is what? Tayoho Aikyam, the oneness between the wave and the ocean. So what does he say here? That budaihi, so sad atmanoho, atmanoho means here paramatmanoho, akhandabhavaha, akhandabhavaha means aikyam or oneness, which we call essential oneness. Essentially both wave and water are one and the same, both are water only, both wave and ocean. So budaihi parichiyate, that oneness is discerned by the intelligent people. Acharya is very careful. He uses the word budaihi as adjective, intelligent people, recognized by the intelligent people. Why intelligent people? Because we have to do this exercise of bhagatyaga lakshana, which we described in detail in the last webinars. Bhagatyaga lakshana. So that requires intelligence. And if I do not know how to do it, then the words tattvamasi will not reveal aikyam to me at all. It will be mere words. But it will reveal something else. Instead of Aikyam, it will reveal something else. So the other systems of philosophy, which also talk about this, what do they say? That Tattvamasi should be taken as Tasya Tvamasi. Because so many people have written commentaries on all these. And Tattvamasi, some of these people, they take it as Tasya Tvamasi. You belong to the Lord. That means what? They don't want to accept oneness. You belong to the Lord means what? You and Lord are separate. They say, Bhagavan is total. You are part of the Lord. Like when you say, Tamil Nadu is in India. What does it mean? Tamil Nadu is also India. That means what? Tamil Nadu is part of India. Not that they are totally identical. This idea is that some people, they want to give this idea also. Tasya Tvam Asi. So that is, there are some other people, they interpret differently also. This is interesting because that is a grammatical interpretation also some people give. The Tattvam Asi Mahavakyam comes out at the end of a long sentence in the Chandogya Upanishad. We have already told that this is coming in the Chandogya Upanishad of Samaveda. So, Aitadatyam, Aitadatyam, Idagum Sarvam, Tat Satyam, Sa Atma Tattvamasi Shvetaketoho. That is what the sentence is there. So, Sa Atma Tattvamasi. And they say, Sa Atma Tattvamasi should be read together. They say no gap after Atma at all. And having read like that, one should apply then the rule of combination. Sa Atma Tattvamasi, if it is split, then it will become Sa Atma Atattvamasi also. Sa Atma Tattvamasi, if you split it, if you read it together, then it can mean Sa Atma Atattvamasi. Because according to Sanskrit rule of combination, A plus A is also A only. Therefore, they say that you are not Atma. So people, they try to interpret it also this way. They are not, it's only a casual interpretation. So there are people who have interpretational problems. To get out of all these confusions and arrive at the appropriate meaning, one must be intelligent. That is what Acharya implies here. So he says, Budaihi. And then Shankaracharya says that this Tattvamasi cannot be taken as a casual statement. Then it will not have validity also. So he says that Vedanta is full of many such Mahavakya. It is not just only a few Mahavakya, indicating that Upanishad is not casual about this revelation at all. It is very serious. Therefore he says, Evam Mahavakya Shatena. There are hundreds of Mahavakyam, Shatena. We have to note it here. They say, popularly there are four Mahavakya. Now Shankaracharya says, it is not just four, but hundreds. Then why do people talk about only the four? Because we want to take one Mahavakya sample from each one of the Vedas. Since there are four Vedas, we have got four sample Mahavakya. And how do we know what is Mahavakya and what is not? If there is a description of Paramatma, it is not Mahavakyam. If it is a description of Jivatma, it is also not Mahavakyam. But if it talks about the oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma, then alone it is called Mahavakyam. So Mahavakya Shatena Katyate. Katyate means revealed. What? Brahmanoho, Brahmatmanoho, Aikyam. The oneness of Brahman and Atma. Atman. That is the Paramatma and Jivatma. Here the word Aikyam also, that can create a confusion also. So Shankaracharya naturally he is worried. Because often the word Aikyam is translated as union or merger or coming together. All those things. And even the Puranas also, we have Moksha as the Jivatma merging into Paramatma. So all those things are even in the Puranas, we have stories, you know, all these things are there. And in the movies also, they show that this great devotee, you know, what he will die, and from the chest, this soul will come out as a flame, it will travel, and it will enter into the Garbhagraha of a local temple, where Ishvara will be there, and then it will merge. So we get all these various ideas. So one may consider Aikyam as a merger into Paramatma as a future event. So Shankaracharya he clarifies that Aikyam does not mean merger. Then what is it? Aikyam means understanding the fact that they are not different. That is Aikyam. They don't require merger. Dropping the notion of physical merger, dropping the requirement of physical merger by what? By understanding that Jivatma is Paramatma and Paramatma is Jivatma. That is understanding. The words are two, but the substance is only one. That is why the word Aikyam is Ekasya Bhavaha Aikyam. Substance is one. Namas are two. Names are two. And that is conveyed here. Akhanda Bhavaha. Non-difference between Jivatma and Paramatma is said here. Therefore, the Aikyam is Akhanda Bhavaha. By Akhanda Bhavaha, we mean Aikyam. Shloka 250. Astula mityetadasannirasya siddham swato vyoma vada pravat prasakhyam ato mrisha matramidam pratitam jahihi yaswatma tayagrihitam Brahmahamityeva Vishuddha Buddhya Vidhiswamatmanam Akhanda Bodham. So in this shloka, Shankaracharya talks about another type of Mahavakya. Mahavakya generally is of two types. One is Vidhi Mukha Mahavakyam, that is called the positive or direct revelation of Aikyam, the oneness. And the second type is Nishedha Mukha Mahavakyam, negative or indirect revelation of Aikyam. So positive or direct revelation was given until now, so far. And now in this shloka, the indirect revelation is being talked about. And what is the method the Acharya uses here? The Upanishad reveals Brahman by negating all objects of experience. This we have seen many times. And leaves as it is. It negates everything. Brahman is not this, Brahman is not that, goes on telling all that and leaves it. So if all objects of experience are negated, then what will be left out? Only the subject, because all objects of experience are negated. And therefore, indirectly, the Upanishad says, Brahman is what remains after negating all the objects of experience. So by negating all of them, whatever is remaining, that is Brahman. That's what it says. So it is like what? If there are two children, and the parent says, the elder son is a brilliant student and keeps quiet. What does it mean? There is a second idea conveyed also there, indirectly, negatively, without telling. And what is that? The second son is not a brilliant student. But the problem is what? Whether we tell or not, the child understands. This is the mistake many parents commit. They never praise actually one in front of the other. We should never do that. Either praise both or praise none. Similarly, here also, there are two things in creation, object and subject, inert and chetanam, both are there in creation. By inert or object, what do we mean? The entire objective universe, the physical body, the mind, all come under kshetram. If people remember the Bhagavad Gita language, kshetra kshetrajna vibhaga yogaha. So it comes under the kshetram of Bhagavad Gita or anatma. And the observer of all of them, the world, the body, the mind, all of them, the observer of all of them, he comes under what? Kshetrajnaha, or the Atma. So these are the only two things in creation, Kshetram and Kshetrajnaha. And what do the scriptures do? While revealing Brahman, only the Kshetram is negated. That is, the object is negated, anatma is negated. Indirectly, the Upanishad conveys that Brahman is kshetrajnaha. It doesn't say exactly Brahman is kshetrajnaha, but by saying all of them, by negating all of them. So this is called maunavyakya, telling without telling. It tells Brahman is atma, but without telling that. But remember, if maunavyakyanam should function, what is required then? I have to first make some statement and then only I can keep quiet. I cannot just keep quiet without saying anything. I should make some statement and then only keep quiet. For example, there are two people and I tell one of them to come with me. There are two people are there. I tell them, you come with me. Means what? It means the other is not asked to come. This is called Nishedha Mukha Pramana. And how does the Upanishad negate the object? Several methods are used. One method is negating all the attributes. The objectifiable attributes are negated, by which the objective universe is negated. By negating all the attributes, the objective universe is negated. And that is then actually in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, this is called Akshara Brahmana. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Shankaracharya, he is referring to that here. Astulam, ananu, ahrasvam, adhirgam, alohitam, asnekam, achayam, atamaha, avayu, anakasham, asangam, arasam, agandam, achakrushkam, ashrotram, avak, amanaha, amukam, goes on negating. The moment you put a in front of them, it is all negating all of them. So it is neither big, it is not small, neither good nor bad. So what all attributes one can conceive of? So all the conceivable, all the experienceable, objectifiable attributes, they are all taken and the Upanishad uses the prefix a. That is asthulam, not stulam. So not a grass, not a short, not a grass body, not short, not long, not all that things. So all those our mind can conceive of, they are all negated by the Upanishad. Or we have seen another method also, neti neti. We see that, we saw that method also in Keno Upanishad. That is, this is neti neti. And in Keno Upanishad actually, anya deva tad viditatim ato atom avidate. Vidatim avidate. Brahman does not come under known or unknown category also. Then what is the only thing left out? If I say X is, as you know, is either seen or unseen. X is, you know, other than seen or unseen, the only thing other than seen and unseen is what? Is our eyes. Nothing else. It will not come under seen and unseen category. Unseen is used for something which can be seen in the future. And therefore, what is other than known and unknown must be the knower, the subject only. That's only. So this is another method of Nisheda Mukha revelation. That's what we are talking about. And therefore, Astulam Iti Yetat Asan Nirasya. Asan Niras means Asat. Asat means the objective universe, the Anatma Abrahma. Drishyam. So Jadam Ityattaha. So it is objective universe, it's not Brahma. It is Jadam, it is Drishyam. So by negating every experienceable thing, every conceivable thing, every objectifiable thing, including the body and mind, this is why actually we say in meditation, if you experience anything extraordinary, you know, some people say we have experienced something very extraordinary, that also will come under what? An experienced object only. The only difference is what? It is an extraordinary experience. That's all the difference. Also an object only. Therefore, never mistake any mystic experience as Brahman. People say, oh, I had that experience, this experience, I experienced Brahman. No. If at all one gets mystic experience, what should I say? The I, the consciousness, which was before the mystic experience, which continues during mystic experience, and which will continue even after the disappearance of the mystic experience. That I, the non-mystic consciousness, which is the illuminator of the mystic experience and any ordinary experience, that consciousness, that is Brahman. That is what we should understand. And one should not search for that consciousness. I am that consciousness. I don't have to go in search of it. I am that consciousness. Therefore, nirasya. Keep on negating whatever is experienced. So this is not Brahman. Then if you negate everything, the question will be, how do I know that I am left? How do you know that I am left out? If you negated everything. Suppose someone asks, after negating all, how do I know I will continue in the hall? Because you negated everything. That does not require any proof at all. That is why I am called the self. The definition of self is what? Is that which is self-evident. I don't need a proof at all for that. And therefore, Svatasiddham. Consciousness is self-evident. Svatasiddham. We don't have to use our eyes or our ears or even logic to say that I am in this hall. I need not even be logically proved, because the logic itself is possible because of what? Because I am there. Therefore, the only thing which exists without requiring a proof is nothing but the I, the consciousness. And therefore, Svataha Siddham. And Vyomavatim Apratarkhyam. Vyomavatim Apratarkhyam. It remains like the Akasha, Vyomavat, space. Vyoma means Akasha. So the space remains after eliminating everything from this hall. But the most interesting thing is everyone takes space for granted. We all take, how do you know that? Whether we take space for granted? For example, after removing every object in the hall, if I ask you what is in the hall, what will be the answer? Generally, there is nothing. That's what people will say. So what do you mean by nothing? Nothing means nothing other than space, which is non-negatable. Similarly, if you remove all the thoughts and come to a blank state in the mind, and you say that there is total blankness. Blankness means what? Consciousness, which is the illuminator of blankness, which can never be removed at all. Just as unremovable space remains, similarly, unremovable consciousness also remains. Therefore, Vyomavat. Vyoma means Akasha. And what type of consciousness? Apratakhyam. It is not available for scientific study, tatka and all that, logic, perceptual study. Because consciousness can study. Consciousness is self-evident. It doesn't need any study. Why do you require logic at all? So it is apratarkhyam. In fact, actually these two lines, that should be connected with actually the next two lines. The essence of that is what? The self-evident consciousness should be identified with Brahman. Why? Because Shruti has started defining Brahman. And while defining Brahman, it had negated everything else and has kept quiet. That's what it did. Negated everything and just kept quiet. And therefore, after elimination, whatever is left out must be understood as Brahman. And so, Siddham Swataha Vyomavat Apratarkyam Chaitanyam. That must be wound up as Brahman. And thereafter, what should I do? That consciousness, that Chaitanyam, I own up. And how do I own up? Again, we have to look at the last two lines. Brahma Aham Ityeva Vidhi. Own up that unnegatable consciousness as I am Brahman. And what is the nature of that? Swam Atmanam, which is one's own real nature. Swam, the real self. All others are incidental tenements. They are all like dress. Just as the dress is removable, the physical body also is like that. Vasamsi Jirnani Yadavihaya. It's removable. The mind also is removable. We remove the mind actually daily. You know when? During sleep. Some people remove mind even while awake. But during sleep we all remove mind. So what is the unremovable one? I, the witness. Swam Atmanam Vidhi. May you know that Brahman is I, which is one's own real nature. And which is Akhanda Bodham, which is undivided consciousness, Akhanda Bodham. It is not the property of the mind. Actually, there are two views. We have already spoken about this many times earlier. Some people take consciousness as mind. That is why they use the expression mind and matter. That means what? Mind is not matter. This is called, you know, Kshanika Vijnanavada. This is called, this argument in Vedanta is called Kshanika Vijnanavada, the Buddhistic theory, where mind is taken as consciousness. You know, that's what they say, mind is taken as consciousness in this particular philosophy. The second group, they take consciousness as the property of the mind or brain. So, either way, consciousness will be limited, right? If it is, so because as many minds are there, there will be as many consciousness. Therefore, Shankaracharya, he wants to demolish that idea by saying Akhanda Bodham. Consciousness is neither the mind nor the property of the mind. But consciousness is something which is all-pervading, which pervades the mind also. And therefore, it is called Akhanda Bodham. Khanda means divided. Partitioned or separated, and Akhanda means it is undivided consciousness. Chaitanyam is undivided. So there is only one undivided Chaitanyam. Nitya Sarvagata Stanuho Achaloyam Sanatanaha. In Gita we have seen all that. Avyaktoyam Achintoyam Avikaryoyam Uchyate. All these shlokas we have seen in Bhagavad Gita. So consciousness is one, minds are many, thoughts are many, bodies are many, but consciousness is one. So don't own up the Khanda Shariram, the divided bodies, but own up the Akhanda Chaitanyam. And after combining the first two lines and the last two lines of this shloka, then we should read the middle two lines. And what is the meaning of the middle two lines now? அசஹா இதம் பிரசீதம் ஷரீரம் ஜஹீஹி. ஷரீரம் இஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டுட் ஹியர். சோ தேர்ஃபோர் கிவ் அப் யுவர் ஐடென்டிபிகேஷன் வித் தி பாடி. பாடி ஐடென்டிபிகேஷன் ஷுட் பி கிவன் அப். சோ ஹேவிங் ஓன்ட் அப் த கான்சியஸ்னஸ் டிஸ்ஓன் த பாடி, த பாடி ஷெல் டிஸ்ஓன் த மைண்ட் ஷெல். யூஸ் த பாடி பட் டோன்ட் ஓன் த பாடி. தேர் இஸ் அ டிஃபரன்ஸ் பிட்வீன் ஓனிங் அண்ட் யூசிங். ஓனிங் ஹியர் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? Taking as myself. I think I am the body. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Ataha. Ataha means thereafter. Idam pratitam. That which is experienced. Jahihi. You give up. And what type of body it is? Swatmataya grihitam. Which has been till now mistaken as myself. This body has been mistaken as myself till now. Right from birth. Because the entire biodata I give is connected with either physical body or subtle body. So, swatma, so the first thing is what? To get rid of that idea, that notion. So, swatma, swatmataya, swatmataya grihitam, idam shariram, pratitam, jahihi. And why to give up? It is mrisha matram. This body is mithya. It does not have an independent existence. And why this body is mithya, that we will understand only if we remember the previous discussion in which it was pointed out that Brahman is karanam and everything else is karyam, which means the body is also karyam, product. And we have already seen any product is nothing but namarupa. There is no substance called product. As we gave the example, there is no substance called the desk. Desk is nothing but namarupa, but wood alone is the substance. Similarly, body, mind, world, and in fact, whatever I experience, they are all non-substantial. No, what a height of teaching, Vedanta. Then, what about God? If somebody asks the question, what about God? Then, the teacher will ask the counter question, which God are you talking about? Are you talking about any God who is experienceable? Then the experienceable God also is non-substantial. It is very, very difficult to swallow. But Vedanta is relentless. In Keno Upanishad, Nedam Yaditam Upasate says, so objectifiable God is non-substantial. Then what is the substance? There is only one substance, namely the experiencer I. Therefore, after Vedanta, I am the substance and the world depends on me. And before Vedanta, I depend on the world. After Vedanta, the world depends on me. And if we have a doubt, is it possible at all? Too much ideology, people may say, these are all too much, all beyond me. Then Vedanta gives the example of dream. When I am in dream, I am individual within dream. I am an individual. Depending on the dream world for my survival. But the moment I wake up, I no more depend upon the dream world. On the other hand, the dream world depends upon me for its existence. The world also, as long as I am in the dream of ignorance, I depend upon the world. But when I know I am the Chaitanyam, then the moment I know I am the Chaitanyam, the world depends on me. Therefore, why are you holding on to the non-substantial body? That is the question. And that it is non-substantial, we see every day. It is growing world. And in front of us, we see so many people disappear. Therefore, don't hold on to the non-substantial anatma, but own up the substantial atma, the consciousness. If you don't want to hold on to the abhimana for the shariram, you are free. If you want to hold on to that, no problem. You are free to have it. But I want to tell you that it is as long as abhimana is there, it will continue. Samsara will not go away. Abhimana is injurious to mental health. Statutory warning he gives. Therefore he says, jahihi, give up deha abhimana. That is what Shankaracharya wants to communicate. Give up Dehabhimana, the body consciousness. ஸ்லோகா 251. மிருத்காரியம் சகலம் கடாதி சததம் மிருன்மாத்திரமேவாபிதம் சத்வத் சஞ்சனிதம் சதாத்மகமிதம் சன்மாத்திரமேவாகிலம் யஸ்மான் நாஸ்தி சதப்பரம் கிமபி தத் சத்யம் ச ஆத்மா ஸ்வயம் தஸ்மாத் தத்வமசி பிரசாந்தமலம் பிரம்மாத்வயம் யத் பரம். சோ தி ஃபாலோயிங் டூ ஸ்லோகா சங்கராச்சாரியா ஹி கன்க்ளூட்ஸ் த என்டையர் வேதாந்திக் டீச்சிங் பை கண்டன்சிங் த உபனிஷத் ஆல் தி உபனிஷத் ஹி கண்டன்சஸ் அண்ட் கிவ்ஸ் இட் இன் அ கேப்சியூல் ஃப்ரம் ஹியர் த என்டையர் உபனிஷத்திக் எக்ஸ்பிரஷன் அண்ட் தி ஜிஸ்ட் ஆஃப் தி ஸ்லோகா இஸ் வாட் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் த உபனிஷத் டிஃபைன்ஸ் பிரம்மன் ஆஸ் சத் த பியூர் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ் அண்ட் தென் இட் சேஸ் தட் தி என்டையர் கிரியேஷன் இஸ் தி அடிஷன் ஆஃப் நாமா அண்ட் ரூபா டு பியூர் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ். So the pure existence becomes nama rupa sahita existence. Exactly like what? Creation of furniture is nothing but one wood plus addition of name, form and also karma. Karma is function. In fact, we have not added even a milligram of matter to that wood. Because matter cannot be created or destroyed. Desk, nama and rupa, name and form. Will have a particular function also, which is different from the function of a chair. The function of desk is different function of chair. But the basic substance wood is common. Similarly, the substance of the creation is existence only. And what is creation? The addition of name and form, nama and rupa and karma. And what is dissolution then? When you destroy the desk, what happens? Nothing happens to wood. But only removal of that particular nama and rupa and function. So that has been reduced to maybe a plank. Therefore, nama rupa addition is creation and nama rupa dissolution is pralaya. Very simple. But what is the constant factor? It's a substance. Sat, 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 always. That is a constant factor. That continues. That is why whatever one experiences the existence only as an intrinsic part. Like experiencing wood intrinsically with every furniture. Wooden table, wooden chair, wooden desk. The wooden adjective that indicates what? The substance wood. Similarly, golden chain, golden bangle, golden necklace indicates the inherent substance gold. Similarly, Vedanta says, existent Akasha, existent Vayu, existent Agni, existent 14 Lokas, existent man, existent woman, existent animal, existent plant. The existent, that adjective reveals what? Existence, the substance. And therefore, by inquiring into the creation, instead of focusing on the variable Nama, Rupa and function, learn to focus on the substance. The existence of sense. Yes, yaivas puranam sadatmakam asat kalpartha kalpatmakam kalpartha kambasate. This we saw actually in the Dakshinamurti Shloka. So, this teaching of Brahman as existence is done also in Chandogya Upanishad. Sadeva saumya idamagra asit ekam eva advitiyam. Very emphatic. Ekam eva adhityam. The Upanishad uses three words. Ekam eva adhityam. And therefore, thereafterwards, the creation is talked about. And when creation comes, existence is not replaced. We should be careful. When creation comes, existence is not replaced, but superimposed on existence. Just as the furniture, it cannot replace the wood, the substance. Entire world cannot replace existence. This unreplaceable, undisplaceable existence, you focus on that. This is the first part of Vedanta. And if the existence is inherent in all of them undisplaceably, the very same existence must be inherent in me also. And in what form can I experience that existence? If someone asks, the Upanishad says, you are experiencing the undisplaceable existence constantly, only in one way. And what is the way? As consciousness. I am an awareful sentient being. In Jagratavastha, I am conscious entity. In Swapnavastha, I am a conscious being. In Sushupti also, consciousness is there. So witnessing the absence of everything in Sushupti. So what is the common thread in all of them? So there is a beautiful saying here. Balyadishvati Jagradadi Shudhatam Sarvasva Vastasvapim Vyavrittasonu Vartamanam Ahamiti Mahamityanta Swarantam Sada. That's what I have written this quotation. So when I say I am, and I add various features to that, various attributes and features. I am boy, I am youth, I am a young man, I am married, all that things when I add all of them when I do to that, and all the other features are subject to change. The physical features, the emotional features, intellectual features, even the cell features, they are all changing. According to biological studies, every cell is replaced within 12 years or so. And so we have a totally replaced body, to be honest. Even brain cells, they say, is fully replaced. Then what is the only constant factor in me which makes me say, I am all the time? That constant factor is that consciousness. That's what the Upanishad says, that existence is Satyam. And that Satyam is Atma, the Chaitanyam. And that Chaitanyam, you are. Aitadatmyam idagum sarvam tat satyam sa atma tatvamasi shvetaketoho. That is what in Chanda Upanishad says, that sat is now what? Chit. And what is that chit? I am the conscious being, is that chit. And once I own up the sat as chit, then whatever be the glory of sat is that of chit also, the glory of my real self. Therefore, I can say, before creation, I was in what condition? Without any Namarupa. Then what happened? Upon me, the consciousness, Namarupa got added. And before Namarupa addition, I was undivided consciousness. Therefore, there was no transaction. Transaction requires what? Duality. Therefore, before Srishti, before creation, I was in undivided form, as in sleep. Then what happened? As Namarupas were added, and in Namarupa addition, I became as though divided. Exactly like what? In dream, I divide myself to the dream transactor I, dream brother, dream sister, dream husband, dream wife, dream children. And who got multiplied all to all these? I, the waker. Similarly, I was originally the consciousness. I multiplied myself by the addition of Namarupa and became the subject-object duality, and I do transaction exactly as I transact in dream. Who is shouting in dream? I am shouting. The shouted, the shouter, the pacifier, all myself in dream. And Shankaracharya says, the waking also is not much different. Mayeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam, mayi sarvam layam yati, tad brahmadvayam asmiham. Therefore, the Upanishad concludes saying, tat tvam asi, tat sat tvam chit asi. That I is you, the consciousness. If that I, that he, that existence is this consciousness, if this is understood and assimilated, Vedanta is over. That E, that existence, capital E, and the capital C, consciousness, they both are, once it is understood properly and assimilated, Vedanta teaching is over. This is the essence very beautifully presented. First, Acharya gives the example here. Mritkaryam sakalam ghatadi. Pot, jug, plate, all those things, they are all mritkaryam. Mritkaryam means mritkaryam, products of clay. They are all products of clay. And what is their nature? even though we use the word pot, what is the adjective we use? It is clay pot or earthen pot. And by saying so, what do I really confirm? Can convey indirectly? There is no pot other than clay. Similarly, wooden desk, golden bangle, all of them. So Shankaracharya says, Mrin Matram Eva. All these products are nothing but clay. Mrin Matram. They have got only verbal existence. Vacharambanam Vikaro Namadeyam. This also we have seen earlier. Pot exists only in your tongue. There is not even 1 ounce of substance called the pot. Then what is substance? Clay was, clay is. So in the place of clay, you put the word. In the place of air, you put the word existence. In the place of pot, you put the word. So you put in the place of pot, put the word, the verb. And in the place of clay, you put the word existence. Therefore, clay pot is similar to existent world. In the clay pot, the left side, clay pot, left side, leftward side word is clay. That represents existence. And the right side word, namely pot, that represents the non-substance, namely the world. So when we say existent world, existence is the substance and the world is non-substance. So what a big revelation, change. When we say existent world, existence is the substance and the world is non-substance. This is where we all make the mistake. We say world is substance. So Mrin Matram Eva, there is no substance other than clay. Abhitaha. Abhitaha means everywhere. Totally. That means what? The top, the portion, the middle portion, the bottom portion, outside portion, inside portion of the pot is all what? It's only clay. There is nothing else. So abhitaha. Now, if you extend it to the world, tadvat, in the same way, sajjanitam idam sadatmakam. This world also, idam means idam jagat. That's what you understand. So, sajjanitam, born out of pure existence, sat. And therefore, sadatmakam has existence as the essence, as its content, as its core. How do we know that it is sadatmakam? The very language we use, that will reveal that. When we say it is golden bangle, what does it convey? Gold is the essence. Similarly, existent world, which reveals that existence is the core or sara of the universe. So, idam jagatim sajjanitam is born out of existence. Here, the word existence is used as a synonym of Brahman. We should remember this. And therefore, akilam sanmatrameva. Everything is nothing but existence alone. There is not even a milligram of matter outside pure existence. Exactly like what? There is not even an iota of substance other than clay in the pot. And therefore, now we go to the third line. Yasmat param kim api nasti. Other than that pure existence, nothing else is there, substantial. Then what is pot? It is non-substantial, nama, rupa and karma only. At the total level, the total namas, the total rupas, the total karmas, at the cosmic level, that is called maya. The non-substantial nama, rupa, karma at the total level is called maya. So, there is nothing substantial other than Brahman. And therefore what? Tatu satyam. Therefore, Brahman is called satyam, independently existent. Just as clay is satyam, because clay is independently existent, independent of the pot, whereas pot is dependently existent. If you destroy the pot, clay will continue, but pot will go away. And therefore, tat is satyam, which is substantial, which is real. What is non-substantial is called mithya. For mithya, actually there is no appropriate translation available. We have told this earlier also. Any translation that we use is only a compromised translation. Like if you use unreal or illusory, all those things are all compromised. So the best way to solve the problem is what? Use the word mithya as mithya. Don't try to translate it. So everything else is mithya. Existence alone is satyam. Then where is that satyam? If that satyam existence is the core of everything. It is the core of myself also, which is called Atma. Therefore, Saha Atma. That existence is the Atma, the self, which is your core, the conscious principle. The only common factor in all of us is what? We are all conscious beings. That is the only common factor. Anything else you take, it is uncommon. My height, my weight, my color, my complexion, my qualification, my quality, they are all different. But what is common in all of them, in all of us? We are all conscious beings. And therefore, that existence is nothing but the core of every individual. The consciousness is called the Atma. Then we may have a question. Where is that consciousness? Where to look for that? So he says, Tat Tvam Asi. That existence, which is this consciousness, is the real you. All others are your fake vesham. You are in a drama. Drama only, which became serious actually. Because we have forgotten that we are only acting the role of a beggar. For example, some guy, you know, he is acting in a drama, a great actor. He studies how a beggar will behave and all that thing. And he went on acting the role of a beggar. But during the acting, he forgot that it is only a role play. He almost really became a beggar. So his identification became so strong in the act, he totally forgot that it is only a role play. So let the entire life become so strong in the act. It's all only a play that we are all in. Play the role. That is very, play the role very well. But remember that you are playing the role only. And therefore, tasmat, tat tvam asi. The consciousness existence you are, which is Brahma, which is called Brahman, because sat alone is called Brahman. That Brahman you are. And what type of Brahman it is? So many adjectives are given here. Prashantam, Amalam, Advayam, Param Brahma, Tvam Asi. Prashantam. Prashantam means ever tranquil. Existence is undisturbable. Body, mind can be disturbed. Once we understand that, we accept disturbance of body, mind as part of the system and don't get disturbed by that. Because the body has to respond to the situation in summer, in winter, cold, cough. We call it Deha Dharma or Sharira Dharma, Mano Dharma. So this is always, thought is never a disturbance at all. It is the nature of the mind. Mind will always have thoughts. And therefore, once you accept the body and mind as they are, and once you own up the consciousness as you are, then you are ever tranquil. That is Prashantam. And then Amalam. Amalam means Shuddham. Shuddham Brahma you are. Then Advayam, non-dual, undivided Brahman you are. And Param, you are absolute. That will not actually, absolute here means what? That will not fall within the paths of opposites. That is how they interpret. Existence cannot come as one of the paths of opposites. Why? It's a very interesting thing actually. When there is a pair of opposites, then the arrival of one, what will happen? Will displace the other. For example, darkness and light. When light comes, darkness goes away. So, any pair of opposites will be displaced by its corresponding opposite. If existence is one of the pairs of opposites, what will happen? The moment that comes, existence will be displaced. If the opposite thing comes. Imagine, for example, this clip or the computer is taken as an opposite to existence. Then the moment this computer or the clip comes, existence will be displaced. And what will be left out? The computer or the clip will be left out. Now, can we imagine a clip or a computer without existence? Impossible. Because existence is displaced, we cannot say that at all. So it is never possible. That means what? Nothing can displace existence or consciousness. The same rule can be applied to consciousness also. That means there is no opposite to existence or consciousness and that which does not have an opposite. This is called absolute. That's why he uses the word param. That which has the opposite is called empirical, whereas this is absolute. So existence is absolute. And we can extend the same logic to consciousness also. Nothing can replace consciousness. Therefore, it does not have opposites and so is not empirical entities. Existence and consciousness are not empirical entities. Therefore, param brahma, I am. దిస్ ఇస్ ది ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంత ఇఫ్ దిస్ ఈస్ అండర్స్టూడ్. ది సేమ్ ఐడియా శంకరాచార్య హీ రిపీట్ స్లైట్లీ ఇన్ ఎ డిఫరెంట్ మేనర్ ఇన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ శ్లోక, శ్లోక 252. నిద్రాకల్పిత దేశకాల విషయ జ్ఞాత్రాది సర్వం యథా మిథ్యా తద్వతి కాపి జాగ్రతి జగత్ స్వజ్ఞాన కార్యత్వత యస్మాదేవమిదం శరీరకరణ ప్రాణాహమాద్య నాద్యప్యసతేం తస్మాత్ తత్వమసి ప్రశాంతమలం బ్రహ్మాద్వయం యత్ పరం. టేకింగ్ ది ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఆఫ్ స్వప్న ప్రపంచ ద డ్రీమ్ వరల్డ్, శంకరాచార్య హీ పాయింట్స్ అవుట్ దట్ జాగ్రత్ ప్రపంచ ఆల్సో ఈస్ మిథ్యా ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ లైక్ ద స్వప్న ప్రపంచ. And both the Jagrat and Swapna Prapancha, which are Mithya, they rest upon the Sat, Chit, Atma, which is the substratum of both. That Sat and Chit alone I am. And this is what is going to be pointed out here. Nidra Kalpita Desha Kala Vishaya Nyatradi Sarvam Mithya. In dream, we experience all these things. What are those? Deshaha, space, kalaha, time. Vishayas, the sense objects, and jnatha, the experiencer or the subject. So, space, time, object, subject, division, all these are intimately experienced in dream. After waking up, what do we say? That it is nothing but a thought disturbance, it's an imagination. So, all these are possible after waking up. But remember, during dream, they are all intensely real. And the distance between subject and object is also real. And the time also is real in the dream world. All these are all clearly experienced. This is to show that experience does not prove reality. We cannot claim that the world is real because I intimately experience the world. Vedanta's question is, dream also you intimately experience. Does it mean dream also is real? We ourselves accept after waking up that it appeared real. That's what we ourselves say. The dream appeared real. But it is not real at all. So Shankaracharya says, Desha, Kala, Vishaya, Jnatradi, Adi. Adi means etc. So the instruments also. So Pramatru, Pramana, Prameya, Desha, Kala, Sarva. All of them. Nidra Kalpita, which is projected by sleep. All are by Mithya. All are Mithya. Mithya means they are all experienceable, available, but they are factually they are not existent, but they are experienced. Tadvat, in the same way as in the dream, Jagratapi, in the waking state also, it is not much different. Even though we vehemently claim that the waking is different from dream, unfortunately or fortunately, it is another higher level of dream only. Waking is another higher level of dream only. So, iha jagrati api, in the waking state also, iha jagrati api, jagrat, jagat, jagat means this world. When Shankaracharya says, this world, we have to include the four, desha, kala, vishaya, jnata, all of them. So, this world consisting of this place, this time, this object, and this jnata, all of them, and we have to supply the word mithya. We have to read actually the word mithya twice. So, yata sarvam, స్వప్నే మిథ్యా తథా సర్వం జాగ్రత్య అపి మిథ్యా భవతి. దట్ ఇస్ వి షుడ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ రీడ్ మిథ్యా ట్వైస్. అండ్ వాట్ ఇస్ ది రీజన్ ఫర్ సేయింగ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ మిథ్యా? అజ్ఞాన కార్యత్వత, బికాస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ బాండ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ వెన్ ఐఎమ్ టేకింగ్ ద డ్రీమ్ యాజ్ రియల్ దట్ ది రియాలిటీ ఆఫ్ డ్రీమ్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో కాస్ట్ బై వాట్ బై ఇగ్నరెన్స్ ఓన్లీ. వాట్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్? ఇగ్నరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ మైసెల్ఫ్ as a waker. When the nature of waker is concealed, the dream becomes real. Therefore, what is the reason for the reality of dream? Concealment or covering up of the nature of the waker. That is why during dream, I don't know I am lying down on the bed comfortably. I don't know my higher nature. And therefore, the lower dream that becomes real. So Shankaracharya says, similarly, this world, this subject-object division, that also appears real. Because of the non-concealment of what? the still higher nature, because the high concealment is higher nature. And what is that real nature? Brahma Swarupam. Therefore, we require the second waking up. In the first waking up, dream is falsified. In the second waking up, the world is falsified. Then second waking up is called wisdom. Therefore, ajnana karyatvataha. Because of the ignorance of the higher nature. From the standpoint of the dreamer, waker is higher nature. From that the standpoint of the waker, atma is of higher nature. So from this is ajnana karyatvataha, being caused by the concealment of the higher nature. Yes, mat evam. This being the fact, which being the fact again, the jagrat prapancha also, the world, real world, waking world also, as much mithya as swapna prapancha, as the dream world. So swapna prapancha is called pradibhasika mithya, jagrat prapancha is called vyavaharika prapancha. So that's what is called. So the details of these are actually described in the Mandukya, Vaisatya Prakaranam. There is a particular thing which I don't know when we'll be able to see, but this is being alluded to that. So since both of them are mithya, and what about my body and mind? Shankaracharya says, when we are falsifying the whole universe, how can this body-mind complex escape? Because the body-mind complex also is an integral part of the waking world. How do you know that? Only in waking you experience the physical body, in dream or sleep you don't. Therefore, sharira, karana, prana, aham, adi, api, asat. All of them. All these are also mithya. What are they? Sharira, the body. Karana, karana means all the organs. The 11 organs, 5 jnanendriyas, 5 organs of action, and antakarana, the inner equipment, mind and all. And prana, the pancha pranas, prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana, all of them. And aham, aham means here the ahankara, the empirical or relative I, which is connected with the external world, that is called ahankara. The difference between aham and ahankara is what? Aham is the suriyam, which is not connected to anything. In the three states, jagrati, swapna, and sushupti, in the Turiya state, the fourth state, not connected to any of them, when that aham comes down to the lower level and identify with the body and become a subject and relate myself to the world, that relative I, because of identification with the body, that is called ahankara. And when I go to dream, I identify with the dream body and therefore I become a dream observer. Relating to what? Not this world, but as a dream observer, I relate myself to the dream world. This relating I, this relative I, that is called ahankara. As Swamiji says, it is kara. Kara means very hot, very spicy. Only tears will come by this ahankara. Whereas aham without kara is neither pramata, nor pramanam, nor prameyam, nanta pragyam, na bahish pragyam, na bhayata pragyam, na prajnanaghanam, na pragyam, na pragyam. So that's what it says. I am neither the subject nor the object. I am the substratum, the subject of the subject and object. And therefore, sharira, karana, prana, aham. Here, pranaham, so that's adi padas. This, we have to split it as prana, aham, adi. And the word aham should be understood as ahankara. Adi means etc. as usual. So all things are asat. They are all mithya, asat. From what standpoint? Again, we should be very careful. I'll finish it in just half a minute. Dream is mithya only from waker standpoint. For the dreamer, it is real. We can never say dream is unreal from the standpoint of waker. Similarly, this world is real from the standpoint of observer. But from the standpoint of consciousness, this world also is mithya. Tasmat, therefore, tat tvam asi. You are that consciousness. And what is that consciousness? It's a beautiful description, which is again the repetition of the fourth line we have seen already. That consciousness which is prashantam, ever undisturbed, that is tranquil, amalam, ever pure, advayam, ever non-dual, param, ever absolute, beyond all pairs of opposites, and which is known as in the Shastras as Brahma, the infinite. So that infinite Brahman you are. That is what Shankaracharya concludes. And with this, actually the Upanishad teaching is over. Anyway, Shankaracharya will continue for various other reasons. So we will stop at this today and we will continue next webinar. Yo Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasaya Parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna Narayana.